equipment and build a tabernacle at the youth camp. And for next year, for young people to come and hear the Word of God and be saved. Many of you know that we had 112 kids saved at camp this year. It's the most ever. It's one of the most productive things that I know of anywhere. I don't know of a youth ministry that's getting more young people saved than youth camps across this country. Youth camp is a tremendous outreach of churches that the Lord has seemingly raised up in the last 15, 20 years. And it provides a lot of good things for young people. We're seeing some tremendous fruits still right now from our youth camp back in July. And we've seen such a change in some of our young people this year, just this year, that it's been unbelievable. The whole thing started when the Lord moved on our young people at Bryson City in 1986. We began our own youth camp out here at Lake James in 1987. This was our seventh year, and the Lord has truly, I don't believe anybody would argue the fact, the Lord has blessed our youth camp. It's been His hand on it. Matter of fact, we had a group out there about 60 this weekend. I don't know what all happened, but they had I guess they got wet, that's one thing. But they had some good services with trust, and I even had service this morning out at the camp. And just about every weekend continually till camp meeting time, just about, I guess, or close to November, is booked up with churches coming, bringing people to youth camp. So the Lord's blessed our youth camp tonight, and I want to preach a message on giving and what we can do to help. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 6, and I want to read you a verse of Scripture that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke here in the book of Luke. Now, if you're visiting with us tonight for the first time, please, please don't judge me by this one message tonight. I preached probably on tithing twice, a full sermon on tithing on a Sunday morning once or maybe twice. Something's happening to me, Billy, in 16 years. That's really a lot less than it should be. Every preacher ought to preach on giving at least twice a year, because that's the Bible ratio of how it's laid out in the Word of God. At least twice a year, but I hadn't done that. Because so many people, if a preacher ever mentions money, they think, yeah, all they talk about is money. We want money, 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 money. Well, if anybody says that tonight, I challenge you to go back and get our tape services for the last 15 years and listen to them. Very, very seldom do we mention anything about giving. But tonight, Lord willing, we're going to. And you say, well, I come here tonight to hear a good sermon, and I don't want to hear you talk about giving money. The only thing I can figure out, buddy, is the Lord must have sent you here to give some. Yeah. Now, you argue with Him about it. Argue with Him about it. God knows just what to do to you, don't He? Lord gets you right where He wants you, in the right place. Now, you want me to preach on them homosexuals, don't you? And that way you won't have to worry about it, see? Won't do nothing to you. Won't bother you a bit. If I preach on them people out here murdering abortion doctors, buddy, we can all shout on that. But here's something we can all practice tonight. We can all give. We can all give, right? Hallelujah. Some of you are saying, oh, no, I don't want to give nothing. Well, I'm telling you, the Lord will bless you if you'll give. You can't outgive God, brother. You can't outgive God. I've been this thing 20 years now, and every time I ever give from my heart, trying to do right, the Lord always, every time, made it back up to me, without exception. Look what the Lord said. Now, you believe the Bible, don't you? Look here, Luke 6:38. This is the Word of God, people. Just as much as John 3:16. Luke 6:38. Help me out, mamas. Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. What does that mean? In the matter of giving, if I go 3, I get back 3. If I go 7, I get back 7. If I go 10, I get back 10. Every how much you put out, that's what you get back running over in the blessings. So the Lord always will bless you for giving. I mean, He'll bless you back financially or whatever, plus run it over in blessings that He gives you. Now, I know some of you are a little timid tonight when a preacher talks about this, but surely to goodness you'd rather hear this than what you heard this morning, wouldn't you? I mean, boy, this morning was rough. I got home and I got thinking, oh my soul, I can't believe I said all that stuff. But it's true and it's right. I preached this morning on the man that wouldn't leave the women alone. And it got pretty quiet in here a time or two. But I trust the Lord did a great work. And last Sunday I preached on the woman that wouldn't leave the men alone. And it got quiet in here then too. Heard a lot of amens from the men. Next Sunday it'll be the man that didn't leave the men alone. I'm thinking about it. I'm not sure I'm going to do that. But anyway, tonight it's going to be given. Give, and it shall be given unto you. And then I like to tell you what we're going to do. The Lord will bless you, and bless you if you'll give. I'm not one of these preachers that says, if you send in $100 and you'll get a Cadillac by next week. I don't believe that. I don't believe you say, give your $100 to this ministry and put your hand on the TV and plant this seed faith and you'll never be sick again the rest of your life. That's a bunch of bulls, what that is. You ain't going to get no Cadillac and you are going to get sick. I'm being honest with you. But I'll tell you one thing, God will bless you if you'll be honest and you'll be honest and give Him. Now, I hope He does give you a Cadillac. If He does, more power to you. Praise God. That don't bother me a bit. I won't be jealous. I'll be happy for you. But there's one thing for sure. One way, somehow, some way, God will make it up to a person if they'll give. When you give, you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised at two things. You'll be surprised at the money that you have left over. You know that? God can stretch it. It's amazing. It's amazing how the Lord stretches it when you give. Has there ever been a missionary come through and a missionary got up and he started preaching? And boy, while God just really touched your heart. He told about little kids in China or people going to hell in Japan or somewhere. Boy, it just grabs you, don't it? It just grabs you. By the time he gets through, you're ready to give everything you've got. And you think, my Lord, I ought to be ashamed of myself. Here I sit in America. Here I have a lot more than what I really need. And boy, you're ready to give it all. And you know, a lot of times when you do that, it is amazing. It's amazing how much you wind up left over. I heard a guy one time that held back on his tithes. His tithes was $35 one Sunday morning. He had made $350 that week. His tithes were $35. He held back that Sunday morning because he thought, man, that's a lot of money. I'm not sure I can afford this. I'm just going to hold it back. And he held back on his giving, kept that $35. The next morning, he woke up with an excess tooth, and boy's tooth was killing him. He had to miss a whole day's work and go to the dentist and get his tooth fixed. Guess how much it cost? It cost $35. And he lost a whole day's work, plus all of that pain, and missed a blessing just over a measly $35. And lost his $35 anyway. Now, I know, you say, well, that would have happened. I don't know if it would or not. You can't say it would. I can't say it wouldn't have. I don't know. But I know one thing. God can make your teeth last longer if He wants to. The children of Israel walked around in the desert for 40 years and their shoes did not wear out, right? If God can make their shoes not wear out, He can keep your teeth from falling out if He wants to. And you say, well, I tied mine fell out. They might have fell out years ago if you hadn't tied. You say, well, Brother Denny, I'm tired and I had a flat tire and everything. You might have had four flats if you hadn't a tire. That's right. You don't ever know how bad it might have been. I'll tell you one thing. I don't regret anything I've ever done for the Lord. I don't regret. I've given people money before and got took for a ride. I've gave things money and it turned out to be a sham or a flop. But that don't matter. God still blessed me anyway because my heart was right when I did it. I've heard people say, well, these missionaries, we don't know what they do over you. No, you don't. You don't. You don't know what Sears does with your money either when they get it, do you? Huh? You don't know what JCPenney or Walmart, any of them does with it. They, missionaries probably do better with it than they do, I'll guarantee you that. You just give it with a free heart and give it with a sincere heart and do the best you can and out of the abundance of what God's blessed you with, you'll be alright, I'll guarantee you. Sometimes your returns are quick, sometimes they're slow, but they're always sure. Always. You know what I think a lot of people ought to do? We have a lot of young people in our church, and I know that because of that, I know most of you ain't expecting to die no time soon. But you know what I think about yesterday? I heard a guy on the radio talking about it. And he was talking about Christians leaving the Lord's work in their will. And I thought, you know, that's what people ought to do. There's a man out in a couple, I believe it's out in Texas somewhere, in 1959 left 17,280 acres to the work of the Lord. 17,000 acres. Worth $2 million in that time. Worth probably three times that nowadays. And they built there's the largest donation ever that anybody made at that time. There's a Baptist college there today training people for the ministry. Because that couple said, hey, we've worked this all our life. They say, well, how are we going to get the kids? If we give her this much land, the boy will get mad. And if we give the daughter the house, the other daughter's going to get mad. And if we give them the house, then the other kinfolk's going to get mad. Let's just give it to the Lord and let the kids make their own living like we had to. And that's what they did. And God blessed it. I think it'd be a wonderful thing if a lot of people would include the work of God in their will. Man, ain't nothing wrong with that. Get some people out of hell. Keep some people out of hell. And brother, with what you've got left when you leave this world. Sometimes it comes real quick. Sometimes it's just like that. Other times it comes in slow, but it always comes. Right quickly. John Wesley said, when I have any money, I get rid of it as quickly as possible, lest it find a way into my heart. My goodness. Isn't that something? I've heard about people that God has blessed and made rich. Crowell, the founder of the Quaker Oats Company. I heard Moody, the great man of God, preach, and he said, I'll give. And he gave, and God blessed him. The man that made Colgate, the toothpaste, and all that stuff, done the same thing. Started out tithing and giving, and God blessed him. Proctor, the ivory soap, the guy who made the resinol ointment, Rockefeller, when he was a small boy, went to help his mom and went to work, and they taught him, they said, 10% of every dollar you make belongs to God, and he give, and above that, and of course become one of the richest men in the history of our nation. You'll never go wrong by giving something to God and his work, cause God sees it, and he'll always make it up to you some other way. Always. I'll never forget the night. I was worried. I was scared. The night we started beginning to raise the down payment for the youth camp. As many of you know, God put it in my heart. Probably, well, it's been along my heart a long time, before we ever started youth camp. I used to say, boy, one of these days I'd like to find a piece of land and grade that piece of land off and build a place to go swimming and place to put swings and play ball, and then a big tabernacle where we can have services tonight. I used to say that every now and then. I'd say that. And many of you know how that we come across the property through the Lord using Sister Brenda Hollifield back there and her husband, Brother Gene. And she told me about the property out there, and we went out and looked at it. We had only been in our building here something like 8 months, something like that, in this new building. Bit off more than we could chew. Went in debt. And I said, boy, I'd like to have a youth camp. There's no way in the world we could afford it. I went out there that day. First day I went out there, my heart started going boom, 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 like that. I could see kids running around. I could see people raising their hands. I could see them pulling in fish. I could see them getting saved. I could see them laughing. I could see that in my head. I mean, it just round and round and round and round and round. I said, whoa, here. How much do you want for this place? And I forgot all about us being in debt. I forgot all about the debt. I come back. You remember we took some of the deacons. We took some people out there. And I said, what do you think? They said, some of them said, Brother Danny, it's wonderful, but I think you're crazy. And they said, it's too much because that's more than what we even borrowed to build a church building. I had to borrow it. I said, yeah, but what's the Lord's in it? And we started praying. We started praying. And some they said, well, whatever you think. Some of them said, hallelujah, let's go for it. I remember some of them went out and prayed. We prayed and prayed for about 2 weeks. I got up here on Sunday night, early March, on our anniversary night. I got up and I said, people, here's what we got to do. We had to raise $110,000 in 11 weeks. Now, you look around you tonight. What you're looking at in here tonight is not rich people. If there's any rich people in this church tonight, I don't know it, buddy. And you better hope I don't find out, because I'll be mad at you. But I don't know of a rich person in this church. I don't know of a rich person. You know what we got in here? We have common, ordinary, middle to lower, mostly lower. Most, and brother, we're down here. I mean, we're down here on the poverty level, man, compared to a lot of people. And this church right here, we pledged that night and we got to going and God got to moving. And sure enough, the Lord began to speak to hearts. I'll never forget. I said, who can give so much? We had people started raising their hand. It was like the Holy Ghost put it on their hearts. I'll never forget. That night, Brother Jack Sparks, hope Brother Jack don't mind me using him for an illustration, he got up here and he said, I'm going to give $5,000 to start that youth camp. And everybody went, wow, man, Jack's been holding out on us. He's rich. And we didn't know it. Anybody can just throw away $5,000. They must have plenty of money, right? No. Jack didn't have $5,000. He had his retirement at Baxter at Travenol Laboratories in North Cove. That was his retirement. That was his, I don't know, whatever it is. That builds up over the years. He said, I'll draw it out and I'll put it on here by faith. And buddy, when he done that, people begin to realize, hey, it's not rich people that get the job done. It's not rich. Rich people so tight they won't let go of nothing. That's right, brother. The more money a person has, the stingier they are most time. Ain't that right? You ain't never going to get nothing from a rich person. There ain't no use in trying, man. They're tied in a bark on a tree, brother. There's some of them won't even go eat out. They sing through their nose, keep wearing their false teeth out. They wouldn't give a damn. They wouldn't spit on you if you was on fire, some of them. And brother, you know who gives? Poor, common, hard-working people. They ain't got it. And it got on. Before I knowed it, we had $60,000 put out here that night in this church. You say, well, Brother Danny, I don't ever know we had that. Hey, it's in here, buddy. It's in here. You don't kid me, buddy. If people want money, they can get a hold of it. Most of you. They say, boy, I tell you what, preacher, we've had people call us wanting help. We have people call us wanting help all the time, and we help a lot of people. And I don't try to be mean, brother. But a lot of them wanting us to pay their light bill and groceries and everything else, and they'll have a $9 stereo and color TV sitting in the living room. Amen. And brother, if they want to pay $500 for a coon dog, they'll get the $500. Amen. I know people that can't afford to give $10 every month for a missionary, but they got their $20 every month for their cable bill, so they won't cut their cable off. It ain't that you can't get it, it's just that your priorities ain't right. That's right, brother. You can get it if you want to. You can come up with it. You can let something go. You know what we had happen that night? I believe it was Earlene. Is Earlene? Tater's been feeling bad, hasn't he? Sister Earlene, who sits right back there, right in there near Brother Flowers there. Most of you know Tater and Earlene. Tater was not able to work. He hadn't been able to work in years. I guess just on Social Security. Earlene, they live over there in Stumptown. And everybody, I mean, you don't have no money drawing a check. Their medicine spends up all of that. I don't see how they make it. Earlene stood up that night and says, I'm going to give $1,000. And I said, Earlene, I mean, do you realize what you just said? We got 10 weeks and you're going to get $1,000? Earlene said, yep, we'll get $1,000. I said, how are you going to do that? She said, I can keep my grand youngins and I keep two or three other kids. If I keep so many kids, $25 each, I get $100 a week, and I'll do that for 10 weeks and give it on the youth camp. And she did it. Somebody sold a motorcycle. I got that motorcycle out there. I don't really need it. I'm going to sell that motorcycle and put it on it. Them kids getting saved is more important than this shotgun or something. Oh, we have people selling shotguns and everything else. And sure enough, we like $5,000 on the last day. And I visited a brother in the Lord, and somebody told me, his daughter kept saying, talk to him, talk to him, talk to him, talk to him. And I said, okay, I'll go visit him. And he said, now what you got going, Danny? I said, well, I ain't one of these preachers that goes around raising money. It's embarrassing for me to do this. I'm not asking for myself, but we're trying to raise money to start a youth camp, kids get saved. He said, how much you need? I said, well, right now we're still short $5,000 and got to have it tomorrow. And he looked over his wife and he said, get my checkbook. Wrote it out right there, boy. Son, I went down the road about to shout my head off. I mean, Ted, you don't know what that meant to me. Because all the pressure was on me, buddy. We'd done made the deal. We told them. We'd done been out there building benches and making plans and everything else, man. Didn't even have the money. We had it booked half the summer, boy. Boy, we bought it. And at night I'd lay down and something say, you stupid thing, you. You ain't going to get that much money and it ain't going to fall through and them people's going to be mad at you and you've signed papers and everything else. And boy, I mean, when I got that last bit of money when I was driving down the road, I was on shouting ground. Woo! Boy, I was about to have a fit. And boy, I tell you what, the Lord blessed me and the Lord said, see that? If I'm in it, I'll take care of it. And I believe that tonight. If God's in it, God will take care of it. I thank God that He always has. That night, the Lord done something for me. It increased my faith so much. And I said, well, people, here's what I'm going to do. I prayed about it. I'm going to do this and that and the other. And God blessed it. And we raised the money. I found out since I've been saved, there's three kinds of givers. The flint, the sponge, and the honeycomb. The flint, boy, they're just bow, you know. The sponge, you know, you squeeze a little bit out of them. But that honeycomb, boy, it just drips. That's the kind we need tonight. I want us to think about this tonight, and I'm going to stop right here. And I want to tell you what we want to do. And then I want to tell you what has already been done. And then we'll see what we can do. I'd like to see us have a building. Our tents wore out. A new tent would cost as much as the building we want to build. And it's going to be a multi-purpose building. So I believe the Lord can bless us with it and will bless us with it if we'll put forth a little effort here tonight. Okay? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, as we come to this time in the service, Lord, we know that what we're doing tonight is just as much a part of the ministry as our singing or anything else. And we know, Lord, it's a part of Your Word, and You said it in Your Word. And let each one, as You prospered him, lay in store. God, we know that giving has always, even since the beginning, been a part of Your program for men. I pray tonight that You'd put it upon our hearts what You want us to do. And Lord, I mean it. I want to be obedient to You. Help me do what I should. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, here's what we want to do. We wanted to do it last year and it just didn't work out. We'd like to build a tabernacle. Well, we need a lot at the youth camp. We need more dormitory space. We need all that. But the biggest and best thing can happen at the camp is kids getting saved. That's the biggest and best thing. I'd rather have a place for them to get saved than have a dormitory or a swing or something like that. I don't put money in there. We want to install a PA system in it where they can hear, altar space, all of that kind of stuff. And we've been talking and praying, and I believe the Lord's in it. We're looking right now at two ways of building buildings, a wood frame building and metal frame building. And price-wise, it costs just about the same, but the metal building will be a lot less work and labor. It's not going to have sides on it, so it wouldn't look like a metal building, except wood. It have wood sides on it, but be a metal building, so it would match the rest of the buildings at the youth camp. We've been talking a lot with Brother Larry Birchfield. You know, he builds these log homes for people, and got a lot of men that work for him in building and things like that, and getting some advice and some figures. And he's worked us up some figures for both ways of doing it. And it looks like we're going to be able to get the whole thing done, Lord willing, for about $20,000. About $12,000 for the building, about $5,000 for concrete, and then the wiring and things like that. I believe and that's about all free labor of getting a tabernacle built for about $20,000. So I was down in Alabama week before last, and a man came up and gave me a check for $2,000 and said, put it on that thing you want to do out there at the camp. And I didn't even mention it. And I got it in my pocket right now. And so that gets us down to 18 already. And I believe we can handle that, don't you? There you go. Now, that's better. I ain't going to get you. So what we're going to do tonight is what we plan on doing is a tabernacle probably seat 300. We have way over 200 in our night services on our big week of teenage camp. Probably had 300 some services this year. And we're going to build it big enough they're going to be able to play games. We don't have any place at the camp except for the ping pong place there where they can go during the rain. So this way they can play, have ping pong table, play games, shuffleboard, whatever, during the day, set out chairs, have service at night, or use half of it in a small group, and half of it, you know, just do all kinds of things with it. And it would be a real, real blessing. We got men in the church here who just about going to donate all, just about all labor will be donated. We'll have to hire out very, very little. And I appreciate that a whole lot, man. Been talking to Brother Ray Blankenship about the bulldozer and getting some grading work done, getting it all leveled up, and then getting one of them thingamajigs and what do you call them things? Transit, yeah. Get it all level and form it. We have some men in Florida that have already told me they're going to take a whole week off, come up, and give a whole week's work. They do concrete, smoothing it or whatever you call it, finishing it, concrete. They're willing to do that. They're from Pensacola, Florida, and they're in this kind of business. They'll say, well, either do the carpentry. They got them big old machines and everything. They're going to donate to all of that and come for nothing. I believe the Lord is in this thing, and I believe that we're going the right direction, and I think we ought to just go for it and stick our neck out and get it done. We want to try to get it built this fall, and that way next year we can get grass growing around it good and everything. And so what we need to do here tonight, I'd like to start somewhere around the 1st of October, which gives us a whole month. We'll take some pledges here tonight of how much money whoever wants to give. And if you don't want to give nothing, don't. But if the Lord speaks to your heart and you want to give something, that's fine. No pressure at all, and we'll just see what we can do. We need to raise about $18,000 in pledges. And I prayed about it this evening. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? What can I do? I don't want to ask you to do something that I don't want.